Revelation this morning that will help us see this truth and move us further along in our walk with you. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to be looking at some different verses this morning, and we're going to start with 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 7 and 8. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. We're talking about sin on us or sin in us, and looking at the differences between the two. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 and 8 say, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." God has called us to walk in a special relationship with him. And we're not called to walk in darkness, we're called to walk in light, because he has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We're not in that old darkness anymore, that we can live a new life. That's a lot of what the teaching today is about. It's about living an overcoming life in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says we have been made overcomers through the blood of Jesus. And you may be thinking as you sit there today, "I just don't feel like an overcomer. I don't feel like I've overcome anything." Well, you are more of an overcomer than you know. It's about knowing it, and it's about understanding what Christ has done for you, that he has moved you from darkness into light. And you need to see that in the Word of God. A lot of what we're talking about today is about learning how to see you the way God sees you rather than how you see you. You can't trust what you see. And you have to start learning to listen to the Word of God. How does God see you? And so I want you to keep that in mind today as we move through this study about what God sees in you versus what you see. And that's really the difference between sin on us and sin in us. So if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We are a body of believers walking in the light, walking in overcoming power, walking in victory in the name of Jesus. And look at this next part. "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." You see that? This is awesome. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us, washes us, cleans us from what? All sin. Not just some sin, all sin. We have been cleansed from all sin through the blood of Jesus. Now, here's what that means. That means there is no sin on me. I want to say that again. That means there is no sin on me. Another way of putting that would be there is no sin against me. There is no charge against me. We talked about no condemnation. There is no charge. Nothing stands against me. There is no sin on me. All sin against me has been removed. The blood of Jesus took care of it. When Jesus said, "It is finished," on the cross, he meant it is finished. He accomplished that goal. Sin has been defeated. Sin has been defeated. But look at the next part of this verse. "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." What? We just got through reading a verse that says he has cleansed us from all sin. Amen. Then he turns right around and says, "But if we say we have no sin, we're lying and deceiving ourselves and we don't have the truth." Well, I thought he just said we were cleansed from all sin. What does he mean if we turn around and say we have no sin? He's talking about the difference between sin on you and sin in you. All right? That's what he's doing. Now, let's talk about that, just what that means. First of all, there's no sin on you because of the cross. Because of the blood of Jesus, we read that verse, all sin has been cleansed from you. There's no sin on you. There's no charge. There's nothing that stands against you. Here's what I want to say today. Sin is not the problem. I want to say that again. And this might be a shocking statement to some of you. Sin is not our problem. Sin's not the problem. You need to understand this. People don't seem to get this. Folks, the cross took care of the sin problem. You have to believe that. The cross took care of the sin problem. Our greatest battle is because we don't understand that. We don't understand that truth. There's not a sin problem. There's another problem. We'll talk about that. But Jesus took care of sin. Your sins have been paid for. Do you understand that? Your sins, if your sins have not been paid for, then the cross meant nothing. The cross was powerless. The blood of Jesus was powerless. But your sins were paid for. The blood took care of that. That God took care of that problem. When you sin, that sin doesn't come into the presence of God. Jesus stands in the presence of God and ever lives to intercede for you. He stands between you and that. Now, sin arises in your conscience and your awareness of it, and you know that you've messed up in your fellowship with God, and that sin is on your conscience. But that's not the same thing as God recognizing that sin on you. There's no charge against you. He took care of that cross. Once you put yourself under the blood of Jesus and become a believer, that's taken care of. It's taken care of. And you need to understand that that price has been paid. You can't pay that price. Well, I go to church and that's fine. And I'm glad we do all the things we do, and we should be fervently serving the Lord Jesus, passionately serving. But that doesn't take care of sin. It can't touch it. The only thing that can deal with sin is the blood of Jesus. And he did that. I want you to look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. And I want you to understand what I mean when I say sin is not the problem. It's not just for the church. It's for everybody. 1 John 2:2 says, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, watch this, not for ours only, but also for the whole world. He took care of sin, not just for us believers. Paul is writing, he says, my little children, in that second chapter of John. He's writing to believers. He's writing to the church. He's writing to those who have been brought into the family. And he's speaking to the family of God. And he says, look, he took care of our sins. But then he says, but I want you to understand something else. Not just for us, not just for those that gather in the church every Sunday. He died for the whole world. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save the world. When he died on the cross, he died for everybody. When he died on the cross, he died for the whole world. When he took care of sin, he paid for everybody's sin. Every sin has been paid for. Every sin has been atoned for. Everybody, the whole world, the price of sin has been paid. That ought to make you shout. If that ever gets down into your spirit and you can understand that he has paid that debt once and for all, it's a debt you couldn't pay. I don't care. We're bankrupt. He took care of the price for sin. For sin. Sin doesn't stand between me and God anymore. It used to. Sin was a barrier between us and God, and we couldn't get to God because there was a big wall between us and God. How do we get to God? You know, that's what most of the religions and that's what religion is about. Religion is about trying to get to God. And most of the religions of the world have lots of different avenues through which they try to appease God. They try to make God happy. They try to get to God. They try to make peace with God. All the efforts and striving of men, how futile, how vain it is. That's religion, and it's death. I tell people all the time, I'm not religious. You know, I'm just a follower of Jesus, a born-again believer. Religion is death. Because the reason it is because you can't get to God. Your laws, your rules, your dogmas, your doctrines, your theology, it's all death. It will not get us there. And that's the power of the message of Christianity. It's not about me trying to get to God. It's about God coming to me. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus came to us. Why? Because we couldn't go to him. We couldn't get there. We couldn't get over the wall. For no one is good. No, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can't scale that wall. And he did it for us. Not just for me, not for all those that are filling up churches. and those that are following the Lord and that they believe in the Lord. No, but for the whole world. Sin has been paid for. That debt has been paid. It's been taken care of. And that's why you just come to Jesus and you bring, because you can't do it yourself, you come to Jesus and say, Lord, I believe in the atoning work of the cross. Because what people are missing is relationship. That you must be born again. That's the problem. The problem is that not your sins. He paid for your sins. It's like he's given you this wonderful blessing, but it's a wonderful gift, but you have to receive it. You have to take it. You have to possess it. And he has paid for everything. And all he asks is that you believe and that you accept it. And it's free. And that you believe Jesus died for you and you enter into a relationship with him and you become born again, a born again believer, new life, new spirit life changes everything. So when you say things like, well, I've sinned so much and I've made so many mistakes and God couldn't possibly love me, I can't come to Jesus, you know, I've been too bad, blah, blah, blah. All that's been paid for. All that's been taken care of. That's not your problem. That is not your problem. You're using it as a crutch and using it as an excuse, but I can show you a cross and I can show you a Savior. And I can show you the nails and the blood. I can show you where the price was paid for that. It's been done. It's been done. Hallelujah. It's been done. He washed away all my sins. Everything that stood against me, he did it. But some of you are saying, yeah, but okay, Brother Glenn, there's no sin on me, but man, I still struggle with things. And I'm not sure I understand why that I still struggle. Well, what you need to understand, what Romans 5:20 says, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. There's a lot of sin in the world. It's horrible. Sin is a horrible thing. Sin will destroy your fellowship with God. But as horrible as sin is, as vast as it is, his grace is much more. His grace is much bigger. John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, it's written right there on his stone. I was a great sinner. On his tombstone, I was a great sinner, but he was a greater Savior. Thank God he was. Thank God that sin, as great as it was not greater than the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about this thing that I struggle with from time to time? Well, let's look at Romans chapter 7, verse 17. Paul is wrestling with something. He's wrestling with what we're talking about right now. Okay, we've established, number one, there's no sin on me. Gone, done, taken care of. That's not the problem. But Paul says there is still a problem. And he's analyzing it in Romans chapter 7, one of the most powerful chapters in the Bible. It leads up to a crescendo of there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And he says in Romans chapter 7, verse 17, but now it is no longer I who do it, that is doing the sins. It's not me doing it. But here's his answer. But sin that dwells in me. Ah, here's our problem. Sin in us. No sin on me. Paid for, taken care of. But sin in me. Why? Because you have a sin nature. You have a sin nature in you that has been passed down from Adam and Eve. It's in all of us. It's like a virus that we have passed on from one to... And it's in all of humanity. It's in all of us. And you know what comes from sin? Singular. Sin, S-I-N, you know what comes from that? Sins. Sins with the S. Sin produces sins. That's why we do the things we shouldn't do. What is Paul talking about in Romans chapter 7? He says, you know, the things I should be doing, that's not what I do. The things I shouldn't be doing, That's what I'm doing. All of us have experienced Romans chapter 7. And, you know, Paul was one of the great men of God, and yet he wasn't perfect. And he's admitting that. I've wrestled with things. And he said, there were things I should have been doing, and I just couldn't get up and get out there and do it. There were other times when there were things I shouldn't have done that I did do. We've all been there. We've all felt that. Lord, I know I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have gone there. I shouldn't have watched that. Whatever. We've all been there. And we knew it, but we did it anyway. Or there were times when we should have been praying. We should have been reading our Bible. We should have been working at the church. We should have been serving the Lord. We should have been but we didn't. We couldn't motivate our flesh to get up and do it, and we knew it. That's what Paul is saying. And then from there he goes on and he says in Romans chapter 7, there's a problem somewhere. What's the problem? He says, well, the law is not the problem. Or let's put it another way. The Word of God is not the problem. The Word of God is not your problem. There are people in this culture today who think the Word of God is the problem. Let's change Scripture. Let's change the Bible. Let's do away with the Bible. It doesn't fit our culture. It's not culturally relevant. It doesn't fit this most postmodern Christianity. We don't need the Word of God anymore. Folks, the Word of God is not the problem. The Word of God is holy. The Word of God is pure and righteous and strong. God's Word's not your problem. Our problem is we don't want to line up with God's Word. Our problem is we don't want to obey God's Word. It always comes down to an obedience problem. It's usually not a knowledge problem. You remember the bracelets everybody wore a while back, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Folks, that's the easiest question in the world. I don't think anybody has a problem knowing what Jesus would do. That's not hard to answer. I know what He would do. You face a situation and you ask yourself, what would Jesus do? You know the answer to that. That's not your problem. Your problem is doing it. You know what He would do. It's an obedience problem. And we have an obedience problem to the Word of God. Paul said, the Word, that's not the problem. The Word is holy. The law is holy. But then he says, but I found something in me. And it was nasty. It wasn't good. And it's called sin. It's this sin nature that causes me to do things that I shouldn't do. No sin on me. Thank the Lord for the cross. Thank the Lord for the blood, that there's no sin that stands against me, that it has been taken care of. So what do I do about sin in me? Oh, this is really good. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 through verse 15. You're going to like this. It says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. That is every law, every rule, everything that stood against me because I was a sinner. Every charge. In other words, you went to court and they read the charges against you. And there's a big long list of them. Here's all the things you've done wrong. Here's your whole list of charges you've been charged with. You've been indicted before the court of heaven for all these things. And I don't know about your list, but my list would be pretty long. And that's the list. And you know what this verse says? He wiped it out. He wiped out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you. He wiped out the indictment. He wiped out the charges. They're gone. Hallelujah. Cast into the sea of forgetfulness. He put them behind His back to be remembered against you no more. Gone. Gone. Amen. Wiped out the handwriting of ordinances, requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, which fought against us. He has taken it out of the way. Look at this. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Every charge and indictment that stood against me has been nailed to the cross. That's so powerful. Folks, there's no sin on me. Sin has been nailed to the cross. It's all been nailed to the cross. Jesus paid the price for the whole world, John said. That's not your problem. But look at the next part of this verse. This is what pertains to you today as a believer. If you're a believer still wrestling with sin in your life, you need to see this. There's no sin on you, but the sin in you. But here's what you need to understand. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them and he triumphed over them. He defeated, not only did he pay for my sins and nail them to the cross, he defeated sin itself. Sins were taken care of, but he also defeated sin, the thing sin, the power of sin that is in the world. He defeated it. He destroyed it. It's so awesome to understand that. How did he do that? The Bible says that he became sin for us. 1 Corinthians 5:21. He became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. He became sin. He became sin. He became the murderer. He became the rapist. He became the rebellious one. He became the sinner that we might become what? The righteousness of God. You a Christian? Have you ever seen the righteousness of God? Go look in the mirror. You are the righteousness of God. Well, I don't see myself that way. That's your problem. You're not seeing yourself the way God sees you. You're not seeing yourself the way God's Word sees you. This is liberating. This is peace. This will set you free, but you have to see it. You need to understand the power of sin in your life has been broken. Well, I just can't help it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God has put the power of the Holy Spirit in you, and the power of sin in your life has been broken. We don't have to give in to it. It used to control us. That's what Paul says. At the end of Romans 7, he cries out, I thank God through my Lord Jesus Christ that I've been set free from this. Sin used to control me, but not anymore. What was in me causing my problem has been defeated. So, there's no sin on me. It was paid for. And the sin that is in me, it's still there, but it doesn't have power over me anymore. It doesn't control me anymore. You just need, the next time that old fellow raises his ugly head inside of you and you're about to lose your temper, you're about to say something you shouldn't, you're about to be ugly, you're about to do something, you need to turn around and look at it and tell him, you just go sit back down in that corner because you don't rule me anymore. I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of Jesus and the power of the Son of God and the power of the Holy Spirit is in me, and you have been disarmed. You have been disarmed. You have been defeated. I love 1 John 3:8. This is our last verse today. Look at this. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. That's where that work comes from. But he says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The sin in me has been destroyed. This power has been ripped away. Its teeth have been pulled. It doesn't have power over me anymore. There's a sin nature there, and there will be temptation. The Word of God teaches us that. But it don't control me. It don't have power over me. So all the sins that stood against me have been canceled. They're gone. Thank God for the cross. And the sin in me has been disarmed. Its power has been broken. Amen. And sometimes that's why, here's what we often don't understand. I'm going to go back to a verse I read earlier in 1 John. He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If the truth is in you, here's what confuses some Christians. Some Christians, after they get saved, they feel like they're more of a sinner than before they got saved. You know, Let me give you an illustration. If there's a dead man laying on the floor and we put, say, 200 pounds on him, on his chest, he doesn't know it. He doesn't feel that weight. He's dead. But if he comes back to life while that 200 pounds is laying on top of him, one of the first things he's going to say is, "Get this off of me." Now he has life. And now that he has life, he is what? He is suddenly aware of the weight. When I came to know Jesus, I became suddenly aware of the weight. I became suddenly aware. You know, when the truth comes in you, you really start to see how bad you are. Folks, it's not getting further away from God when you start to realize how bad you are. That's part of the process of getting closer to God. When we think we're okay, there's a beautiful illustration in the Old Testament where when the lepers would come to the priest, as the Bible says, as long as the priest still found clear skin, in other words, they still had some good spots. They still had some good skin. They still had some good things going for them. The priest would say, "You're not a candidate." Why? Because leprosy has to run its course. And only when the leper came and he was fully covered was he a candidate for healing and re-entry. This is what God wants you to see. As long as you think there's some part of you that's good, as long as you think there's some part of you that's cool, you know, and God's blessed to have you, you're not ready. But it's when you're totally broken down and you realize, man, I'm nothing. So that's when you're really starting to see the truth. I've had people come to me and say, "Glenn, I can't do this God thing. I can't do this church thing. I just can't do it." And I've looked at them and said, "Hallelujah." And they look back and go, "Did you hear what I just said? I just said I can't do it." And I'm like, "Good, because you never could do it. You're closer to the truth than you've ever been." That's why he gave you the power of the Holy Spirit to be an overcomer. So when the truth comes in you, you kind of realize who you really are. But here's the good side of that. I realize I'm bad. But he has made you perfect in the Lord. You also need to see the flip side of that. That's what your flesh is. That's not what your spirit is. Another good lesson, I don't have time for it today, would be the difference between flesh and spirit. People don't often understand. They confuse the two. They're not the same. So you might recognize the weakness in you, but understand God has given you the power through the Spirit. That's your flesh. You're seeing your flesh. He has given you the power of the Spirit to walk a different life, to live in the newness and life of the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying you don't have to live the way you used to live. So I want you to understand something. If you've never come to Jesus, if you've never known the Lord, and all those long list of charges against you, I want you to understand, listen to me, he paid for them. You've walked into the courtroom today and they've read all these things. Here's all the things you're guilty of. I don't want to hear all the things I'm guilty of. But if he brings out the list and then somebody steps up and says, "Well, wait a minute, I know he's guilty of all those things, but they've all been paid for." There was a man 2,000 years ago that went to a cross, paid for every one of them. "You mean to tell me all my sins are gone? You mean to tell me they've all been paid for?" They've all been paid for. And what he asks is that you believe it, and that you enter into a relationship with him and be born again and put yourself under that covering. He's provided a covering for you and put yourself under it. And all you have to do is come to him and say, "Lord, I want that covering. I want to come to the cross because you paid for everything. You did it for me." Not gonna do it. He's done it. He's offered it, but you got to receive it. You've got to accept it. And for those of you believers that are out there and you struggle with habits, you struggle with things that you've had a hard time overcoming, you need to understand the sin on you has been paid for, but that sin in you, its power has been broken. Its teeth have been pulled. It has been disarmed. You don't have to give in to that anymore. You don't have to live in the filth. You don't have to live in the murk and mire of this world. He lifted us out of the miry clay and set our feet on a solid rock. Oh, the power of the cross. The power of the cross. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray for you right where you are. Father, if there's anyone listening right now that has decided in their heart, I want Jesus. I'm tired of running from Him. I'm tired of living the way I've been living. I'm just going to come to Him right now. I hear that all my sins have been paid for. He did it on the cross. And so I'm running to that cross where my sins, I can't, if I go anywhere else, it won't matter. It won't do me any good. I'm coming to the cross. And I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to just touch them right where they are. And Lord, for those listening that have been struggling in their life, they've given their life to you, but they're not walking in that overcoming power. And they've struggled. Lord, I pray for new revelation this morning that everything against them has been taken care of by the power of the cross. It's been washed away. But I want them to also understand that that thing that is in them, it has been disarmed. And that you triumphed, you were victorious over the power of sin in our lives. Let us hear the word of God, not the traditions of men, not what we've heard all our lives growing up. Lord, just the pure word of God. We need to hear truth this morning. And I thank you for speaking to us. I thank you for this day. I ask your blessings over every person. Right now, bless their homes, bless their families, bless their bodies, their health, bless their finances. I pray for blessings in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'd be their rear guard and that you would go before them in battle. And we just thank you for your goodness. And we ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 I just feel the presence of the Lord right now. Real strong. Hey, Lord's ministering to some people right now. You're having a moment. You're having a moment right now with God. And I'm thankful for that. I thank you for being part of our service today. I just pray God has spoken to your heart and encouraged you and strengthened you and that you've learned something and grown in the Lord today. Remember, Wednesday night at 6:30 for our Bible class. We're praying for you. We love you. If you need anything, please let us know. Have a great day. God bless you. Amen.